It's always a pleasure to be with the family of God and be able to minister what God's done in our lives. And I wanted to bring a message today that hopefully will move you off a dead center. How many of you sometimes get on dead center and you're just kind of stuck there? Pastor Terry's been talking about the doldrums, about sitting in that ocean, in that dead spot, and it's hard to get out of there sometimes. Well, it is hard to get out, but with God's help, we can get through it. Amen? Because we know that we serve a living God, and He will bring us through anything. And whom the Son is set free is free indeed. Amen? Have you ever been bound and you needed help? You needed somebody to rescue you, and Jesus was there to rescue you, to bring you out of that place, to set your feet on higher ground, that you could do the things that God has called you to do? Well, He's here today, and He's going to set some things in your life today. How many of you came praying, believing, and expecting a miracle to happen in your life today? You know, if you didn't do that, you might have should have stayed home. Because I'm going to tell you what, every Sunday I get up and I pray, God, I want to see a miracle happen today. I want to see something transpired in my life or somebody else's life, and I'm going to give you the glory and the honor that's due your name. That ought to be every time we enter these doors, because we have needy people that come in here. And when they do, then God will meet that need if we will only let Him do those things. Now, today I'm going to be talking about God's not finished with us yet. How many of you know that God is not through with you right now? He's still got things for you to do. He's still got a plan for your life. He's got a future for you. Your past is already gone. And if you did bad things in it, just thank God that they're gone. But the future, it can be totally different if we will let it. If we will give Him the future of our life, we will see some great things that's going to happen in the days to come. I'm expecting to see the church just get real excited about the things of God and begin to walk in faith and in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. To do that, we got to be vessels of honor to go do that. Now, I want to share with you today about the potter's wheel. I don't know if you've ever watched that before, but I used to go to Tennessee and Arkansas, and I would always go sit around the craft people and watch them, you know, make things on the potter's wheel. Y'all know what that is. It's a turntable, and it's got some items that go with it. One of them is clay. The other one is a wheel. There's another part called a drying room that they put the clay in after it's made. And then there's this part called the furnace, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Now, I want you to go with me. We're going to go on a field trip. How many of you like to go on field trips? You know, I used to love it when they said field trip, because it's like, oh, man, cool. When I was a kid, we don't have to go to the class. We don't have to go to the cafe, to the cafeteria to get some of that bad food they got. We can go get some food and eat out today and have a good time. We have the freedom to go do what we want to do. It's a field day. I'm excited about it. Well, Jeremiah was walking around one day, and God told him something. Let's read this. Taken out of Jeremiah 18, it says, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make." And it says, well, I'm going to stop right there. But that's what he was doing. He went and he saw this man at the wheel. And we have a picture of one that's coming up right here. And I want you to look at that potter's hands on that clay. Now, the first thing I want to talk about today is the clay. Because the Bible says, so it is in the potter. The clay is to the potter what we are to God in His hands. And that is very important that we know that, because God is the one fashioning and forming our lives. Just like the potter forms that clay into a vessel that he's going to use. In his mind, he knows what he's going to do with that clay. And he's going to form it and fashion it into the thing that he needs. Well, God has a plan for every one of us. The Bible says that he knew us before the foundations of the world, before we were ever born. God knew who we were and what we were going to be. That is mind-blowing to me. And all I got to do is not try to figure it out. All I got to do is be submissive to His will, and He will put me where I need to be. And you too. But we're going to start with the clay, because the clay is very, very important to do this. Without the clay, the rest of it is useless. But we are important. That's what the clay is all about, because we are important to God in everything that He does. Now, the potter will get the clay. Now you can go now to the Hobby Lobby and you can buy a pack of clay that's already homogenized, pasteurized, or whatever they call it. So it has no bubbles, no sticks, no nothing in it. It's just good clay. You just slap it on the wheel and just go for it. But back here, this was when they used to have to go dig the clay out of the bank. In Kentwood, we used to have a camp on the river up there years ago, and we would go on the riverbank where the water had washed it out, and it would be big red cells of pure clay that was in there. Some of it had rocks in it, some of it had sticks, some of it had glass in it, and you would pull all of that out, and we would bring it back. We didn't have a wheel. We would just sit at the table and make all kinds of goofy things with it, me and my boys when they were young. But this potter went, and he had the clay. So he has to get the clay out, and he starts taking it, and he starts kneading it. He starts squeezing it like this. And it, as all potters do, a lot of times when they're squeezing it, they may find a stick in it. They may pull it out. They may find grains of sand in it. But one of the main things that they're doing is squeezing the air out of it, because there's another step that's coming very shortly after this, and if it's got an air bubble in it, that will completely blow the whole job. So he has to make very good care of the preparation for what he's doing. And he's squeezing all of that out. He's taking all of these things out of that clay as he's thinking about what he's going to make. Because the wheel's sitting there, he's sitting there, and he's thinking, what am I going to make out of this? What can I form out of this clay? And he's doing this, but the whole time he's taking things out, but he's also putting things in. His own sweat sometimes goes into that clay while he's kneading it, pushing things out of it. Sometimes the oils out of his hands literally go into that clay. Sometimes if there was something in there that cut him, his blood would literally go into that clay, because he's in a process of preparing something. And that's exactly what God does with our lives. When we were first saved, the first thing he did was pick us up from wherever we were, and he began to take things out of our life that we really didn't need. We didn't need some of the things that we were doing. It was just useless. And he begins to take those things out one at a time, because he's got a process going. He's thinking what he's going to do with us in the future. So he begins to squeeze all of that stuff out. And by the way, that just tells me of the oils that comes out of his life is the anointing of the Holy Ghost that comes in our life when we were first saved. It gives us that euphoria feeling of knowing that God loves me. God's got a plan for my life. And also his blood was shed for you and I. He went to Calvary and his blood was shed on the cross that our sins would be forgiven. Amen? Y'all can say something. Y'all help me here. And that's what the analogy is. And if we'll do that, then we'll know. But the most important thing is that we know that we're in his hands. For the first time in our lives, we know that the burden of sin has been released from our back. Our hearts are pure before God. And now we feel the warmth of his love, the warmth of his hand, because he's got a plan for us. And that's a good feeling. I don't know if you've ever been there or not. But when I first got saved, I was a totally new man. I cried for weeks and months. I laughed. I did things I'd never done in my life because I was a new creature in Christ Jesus. And I knew his hands was on me. He was still taking some things out, but he was also putting some things in. His promises, his love, his caring, just to let me know that I'm here and I care for you. And I'm molding you. I'm taking things and changing your life. And that's an exciting time for a Christian. Very exciting. But then there comes this time to where you have to start doing something with it. And now the next article we have here, if you look at that, that's a wheel that turns around. And it's usually got a foot pedal on it. Some of them have two pedals. You pedal it like a bicycle. So when you're going to make it go fast, you really got to get with the program. But the electric ones have got a rheostat on it like a Singer sewing machine, the old ones, and you could just push it faster and it goes faster. Well, we're sitting there and we feel the warmth of God's love, and you'd have been there. Let me know how many of you have been in that spot. You felt that in your life. And it's exciting. But then that wheel is spinning, and he takes and he dips his hand in a bottle of water, and he takes that wheel and he wipes the wheel with the water, and he takes a towel and he wipes just one little wipe off. Because it's very important to do that, because he's got to put the clay on the wheel. And to get it on there, it's got to adhere to the center of the wheel. Then He'll take us after we feel all this warmth and love and forgiveness and all that, and we say, God, just take me and do what You want to do with me. And all at once, He takes it, slams it right down in the middle of that wheel. And that is not the W-H-E-E-L, but the W-I-L-L. Because God's got a will for every one of us. But that is a shock to us to be slammed down on that wheel. But when He throws us on that wheel, if you will, He takes us and He pushes us down as hard as He can to get us to adhere to that wheel. And then the potter also takes his hands, just these parts right here of his hands, and he pushes that clay towards the middle to make sure that it's stuck, make sure that it's in the center of the wheel to stay there. Because he can't make anything if it's not in the center of the wheel. It cannot be off-centered. It cannot definitely be over on one side. But the sad part about it is, I find so many Christians today that are not in the center of God's will. They're on the edge. They want to live on the edge. They want to do their own will, W-I-L-L. And when they do, then God is pretty well helpless unless it comes back around. I mean, He's trying to chase us. It's like, well, I'll catch them when they come back over here, or I'll catch them over here. And He's trying to catch Christians that have made dedications, and they've come and said, yes, Lord, take me, change me, make me what You want to. And immediately they go to the edge of the wheel because they won't go through the process. You see them everywhere. I used to be one. I was a creaster. Y'all know what a creaster is? That's a person that goes to church every Christmas and every Easter. And the only reason I did it was because my wife used to grab me by the ear and her finger in my nose and say, come with me, big boy, you're going to church. What a horrible way to live. You know, I still got a crooked nose from that. But so many people are out of God's will. They don't want to be in the center of where God wants them. That God has got a plan for us. And how many of you know that sometimes when you're in the center of God's will, you know that His hands and His eyes are on you, because that's a very critical time when you put that clay in the center of that wheel. The potter cannot take his eyes off of that at any time. He cannot take his hands off of it. He has to concentrate on what he's doing, because he's fixing to make what they call a throw. And that is to take a lump of clay that looks useless, that looks like nothing, but he's going to make something out of it. And that's what he does in our life. And that potter gets that wheel going real fast, and he compacts that clay all in there. He's got it just right. And when it gets just right, he takes his thumb and he comes over and he puts it right in the middle of it. And he pushes it all the way down. And then he gets his hands in there and he begins to make what they call a throw. And he'll pull it up and it begins to make a vessel that's so tall. I watched one on the internet yesterday, and a guy made one. It was about 3 foot tall. Then he set it on the side, he made another one 3 foot tall, and then another one. And then he stacked all of them together and stood in a chair and reached down where his arm was in it to make a vessel. That is a vessel. That's a big vessel. But what he does, he's changing us from the inside out. He's molding us that we will be something that will be a container, that we'll be a vessel of honor. A vessel that can be used. Because you see, just a lump of clay basically goes nowhere. It's just you might can make a doorstop with it, but you can't make something that's going to be of value, that's of use. You cannot put food in it. You cannot put drink in it. You cannot put anything in it, because it's just a lump of clay. But he wants to make a vessel of honor out of our lives, out of that clay. And he takes that and he starts pulling on it, and he gets it up. And then we begin to feel the warmth of his hands again, because when he was kneading us and taking things out, it was good. He slammed us on the wheel. That was not so good. That was a shock to most of us. And that's the time to where Christians need to grow up. That's where we need to take notice and say, God is doing something to me. He is not doing harm to me. He is doing something good in me. He's bringing me to a new level, if you will. In my Christian walk, he's bringing me to a better place than I've ever been. And it may be a little awkward at times until we get to that spot. But if that vessel falls or it breaks or whatever, they'll take a piece of guitar string or piano string and they'll lay it down and they'll cut it off and they'll take it and they'll throw it in a pile. It's of no use anymore. God never did that, because it says that he went and the potter was making a vessel that was marred. And because it was marred, he said, take it and make another with it. Because there is a timeline that you can take that old clay and make another vessel out of it if you catch it in time. And a lot of us have just about expired the time through the years of the way we lived. Very dangerous place to be. But God wants to make a vessel out of us if we will stop and let him do it. But we got to be in the center of his will and recognize that he is doing things in our life that will change us forever for the good. And every one of us has been there and done that. And you say, well, wow, is this a one-time story? No, it's not. You see, I could do this 40 years ago and it met certain needs in my life. Probably 20 years ago and it would have met another need in my life. And I'm looking forward because I'm going to go through it again. And so are you. Because it's a process of continuing to do what God's doing in our lives. You see, when you first got saved, that you're going to heaven, that's great. But you got to grow up. You got to grow up. And to grow up, God's going to have to reshape you and make you all along the way, just like he does every one of us. That's why the Apostle Paul says, I have not arrived and I have not attained things like that. I am a creature of God and he is changing me day by day. And he said, did he not say this? He says, I die daily. I die daily. That means that he has to get back on that wheel sometimes and be remade and go on. I mean, I'm not talking about getting resaved every time. I'm just talking about let God fashion you for the next step of your life. It's very important that we know that. And then after we go through that wheel time, that is a time to where I want to go back and talk about Jonah. You know, Jonah had a wheel. And God told him, he said, Jonah, I have a mission for you to do. You think about this while I'm talking about it, because he's got a mission for every one of us. And he told Jonah, he said, I want you to go down to Nineveh. I want you to go down and get on a boat, go to Nineveh. I have a great work for you to do there. There's 125,000 people. They're heathens. They're barbaric type people. I mean, they were cruel. They would kill people. They would literally, if you read the study about them, they would kill people and skin them alive. Some of them alive, some of them dead. And they would take their skin and put it on a pole and put it at the gates of their city to let people know, when you come here, you're ours. And if you say anything to cross us, your skin is going to be on that pole. And that's the way they were. They were very barbaric. I know y'all got dinner coming up, but just try to get that out of your mind. But they were very barbaric people. And Jonah knew that. I'm going to take up a little bit for Jonah, because he knew it was a dangerous place to be going. But God said, go there. I have prepared a place for you to go. And Jonah gets up and he takes off and he goes down and gets on a ship and he goes to Tarshish, the opposite way from where God wanted him to go. And the Bible says as they were going, a great storm blew up. And he realized, this storm is not just something out of the ordinary. I think God has sent this storm here to get me off of this boat. And he even told the people on the boat, God has told me to do something and I didn't do it. And that's why we're going through this trouble. So the Bible, it affected other people when he was out of God's will, if you will. It affected other people when he was running from God. And God just told him, he said, go down there and do what I'm telling you to. Now he's on a boat going the opposite way and a big storm is coming. And I want you to know, right after a big storm, there's always a big pair of juicy lips that's in that water that wants to get you. And it will get you. If you continue to stay out of God's will, there may be a whale in your future. You may have to get swallowed up by some of the things in this world. And even at that, not only did it interrupt the people that he was on the boat with, it interrupted the fish. The fish couldn't even stand a backslidden Christian. It went out and threw him up on the bank. Literally. Just spewed him right out of his mouth. Said, this is a nasty thing. Whatever it is, I've swallowed. And it was Jonah. Seaweed wrapped around him. Slime all over him. And he realized what he had done. And he said, God, I want to get back on the wheel. On the W-I-L-L. And he came back and he did. He got back into the will of God. And he went to Nineveh. And the Bible says that it's a three-day journey. See, this is where if we are in the will of God, we will see supernatural things happen all around us. And the Bible says that it's a three-day journey from where Jonah was to Nineveh. And he left to go to Nineveh, and it took him one day to get there. A three-day journey, it took him one to get there. Do y'all see the difference here? He was not in a Cobra or a Viper or a Corvette or a jet plane. He was on his feet, and it took him one day to do a three-day journey. But the amazing thing was he went there and preached the Word of God. And the Bible says that the whole country became saved. They became people that would turn back from their evil ways, and they turned to God Almighty. 120,000, one of the greatest revivals we will ever see in the Bible, because he then obeyed God. When he was in God's will, he did great exploits. But when he was out of his will, the fish couldn't even stand him. And that tells me that you and I are the same way. When God tells us to go do something, if we will be obedient to the Holy Spirit and go do what he says to do, we will be a happy camper. We will find the favor of God on us. We will find things that will happen in our life that will be a blessing, not only to us, but it will be to other people. Amen? See, we need to come to that place and be in the will of God. Now, we've already taken the clay. We've kneaded it. We've put it on the wheel. We've pulled it up. We've made what's going to look like a vessel that's going to be there. And the potter looks at it and he says, "That's it. That's exactly what I want." So then he takes a little sharp object while the wheel is spinning and he cuts the top off, maybe put a little bow around, not a bow, but a little ridge around the top of it, maybe even some designs on the side of it. Then he takes that wire and he cuts it off. And very carefully he takes that over to a room that's hot and dry and dark. And he goes in there and there's a shelf in there. And on that shelf he takes that clay pot and he sets it up on that tray right there. Be sure not to touch any other vessel, because if it touches another vessel and it's damp, it's going to ruin both vessels. They'll stick to one another. And he puts it right there and he leaves it. He goes out, he shuts the door, and he's gone for quite some time, because that vessel has a process to go through. It has to dry, get all of the moisture out of it before he ever puts it in the kiln. That's the big oven he's going to put it in. And he has to leave it there. But every now and then, he'll go back and he'll open the door and he'll walk up to it and he'll thump it. And it'll go thud, thud. And it's like, it's not ready. So he'll leave it right there. Now, that's where you and I sometimes lose it. Because we wonder, has God forsaken me? We pray and our prayers get just about this high and they fall back to the ground. We try to tell somebody what we're going through and they look at you like, "Dude, get it together." You know? Or we try to tell them, "Do you understand the pain that I'm going through? Do you understand that?" And we will go and try to seek out somebody that will listen to us, somebody that will condone us. And nobody's there. Nobody's home. They're all elbow to elbow, but they're not talking to us. We're wondering, where is God? He loved me. I felt the warmth of his hands. I felt the oil go into my life. I felt the pull when he pulled me to a higher level. I felt everything about what was going on. But now I feel so dry. I feel so thirsty. I feel like everybody has gone away from where I'm at. And God is nowhere to be found. I pray and he don't answer me. I don't understand what's going on. And nobody else can tell me what is going on. You ever been there? Let me see your hands. Yeah? Yeah. I just want to make sure I'm on key here. And we wonder, what is going on in our lives? Well, you know what? We have to go through those things because that potter knows when that piece of clay is ready. Because when he goes back in there and he can thump that thing and it goes ding, it can ring or it can sing, it's ready to go. And sometimes we go through trials and tribulations and we wonder why and why so long. Because we need to understand one thing. We're not singing. When we get to a trial and we go through tribulations in our life and we come to that place in our lives and say, "You know what? Though he slay me, I will still praise him. Though I don't see him, I will still trust him. If I can't trace him, I can still trust him." Whatever happens, I know that my God lives and I can listen to Him and I can be everything that He wants me to be. And we will start lifting our hands and our voice unto Him and say, God, I praise You. No matter what I see, no matter what I feel, You're still my God. You're still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I will always trust You and I will always do Your will. Then we're going to ring. Ding! And He says, you're ready to go. And it's exciting because now we're getting out of that hot, dry, dark place that we didn't want to be in. But we do know one thing. And another thing I want to share, while we're in that dark, dry, hard place, that is a great time to continue to pray, to continue to read the Word of God, and to continue to fellowship with other people. Because we need it. That is where we get the strength. That is where we get what we need to live our lives. And that is a great place to do that instead of shutting everybody off and saying, God don't hear me, He's not talking to me, and I'm just not talking to Him. I'm going to just sit here and pout. I'm going to just be here and just poke my lips out, and I'm not going to talk to anybody. In fact, I might even go to another church. I went in there and the pastor didn't even shake my hand. Can you believe that? The head deacon was snarling his nose at me. You know, I spoke to some lady and she turned the other way and went on. And you see people like that all the time that go through fits of things. And it's like if we could only come to that place and realize God is doing something with us. And we're going to have to go through the processes of every one of them to be everything that God has called us to be. Amen? Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Has anybody ever been there? You know, we go through that. All of us do. But so many times Christians get to that spot and they want to just pull out of it and say, no, I've had enough of this. You know, it might be good for you, but it's not good for me. I think I'm going to go find me something else to do. And some people, unfortunately, will go do that instead of sitting there and biding their time and trusting in God and begin to praise Him with everything that's within them. They won't do it. And as much as that means, it's a thud when God thumps on it. It's no life there. It's not ready for the next stage. And God will let you stay there as long as you want to stay there. And that's a hard part sometimes because I've seen people go through that process for 15, 20 years. And it's like, when are you going to get over it and trust God to get you out of that situation? Amen? Now the next step is, once you sing and once you get out of there and that time has been shortened, and now you're excited about the things of God again. And it's like, God, use me. I'm a vessel now. Here I am. I've been through the processes and everything is going good. I'm being blessed. I'm enjoying life. Life is good. And we get to that point and it would say, God, just use me again. God, I surrender my life to You today. Whatever it is that You have for me, I want to be very sure that I'm right in the middle of it. I want everything that You got for me. And that might be on a Sunday like today. And we do that. We pray that prayer. And then He goes and says, okay, there's a furnace I have to put you through. And He's over there heating the furnace, the kiln up. And it's getting hot, really hot, 1,200, 1,500 degrees. And then He takes us while we're praising and jumping around and just waiting for the next joyful step. And He takes us and He puts us in that furnace and closes the door. And then we wondered, what have I done now? I thought it was hot and dry in that other place, but this thing is hot, really hot. Well, what He's doing, He's hardening you from sin. He's hardening you from things that would do evil to you. He's hardening you to the world that would try to come and penetrate your life again. Because if that vessel is not crystallized on the inside, or I'm going to say glazed on the inside, it's of no value. You can't take a clay pot and put baked beans in it and try to get them out without digging clay out of it. It has to have a glaze in it. And whatever it is that you put in that pot, it has to be glazed. And God is glazing us, if you will, to the things of the world. He's hardening us towards sin that we won't let it come back in. Because we're human beings, and if we don't die daily, we will allow things to come right back into our vessel. And God says it's not going to happen because I'm going to make you harden to that. You see, when we come to the place in our lives and we hate sin as much as God hates sin, then we're going to see the church come alive. Amen? Can I get a better amen? See, when we come to that point and realize that my will is sin, but God's will is the way to Him. And we got to come to that place as a church. That's what God's making vessels to do in our lives, in every part of our life. Now, we talked about Jonah. We talk about Jesus. Because Jesus, He knew from His birth. I mean, when He created us before we were ever anything, we weren't in a twinkle in our parents' eyes. And He created, He knew He had a plan for us for our whole life. I believe that Jesus was 100% man. I believe He was also 100% God. And He had the same temptations, the same fears, everything that would come. Of course, He didn't fear like we do, but He had the same things that we're tempted with in all ways. He had that. And He knew that He had a mission to be on. And He was going to the cross one day. They were going to kill Him. They were going to crucify Him. He was going to be buried. The third day, He was going to rise again. He was the Savior of the world. He knew that. But yet, when He gets to Gethsemane, He's there praying. His disciples are not even 10 steps away from Him, and He's praying. And He comes to that place, and I think that reality hit Him as a man. And He said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. What He was saying is, I don't want to do that. But just a split second later, He said, nevertheless, Father, Thy will be done, not my will. And I believe that's where we need to be. When we're tempted, when we're tried in different things, we need to realize that it's not my will, but it's His will. And that will make a difference in our life, in every part of it that we do. Another thing is, the fire is not to be feared about. Because a God fire is a good thing. See, we pray all the time that the Holy Ghost fire would fall in this place. And when that falls, there's going to be excitement. There's going to be joy. There's going to be cleansing. John the Baptist says, you know what? I indeed baptize you with water. But he said, there's one coming that's greater than I. And when he comes, he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And that fire is a cleansing agent. When we get into that to that furnace or that kiln, that's a cleansing agent that cleanses us, purifies us, that when we come out of there, we're spotless. We're made in the image of God, and God can use us because now we are a vessel of honor to Him. The fire is not to be feared. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, one time they told him, if you don't bow before our God, we're going to put you in that furnace. We're going to do away with you. And they said, we'll never bow to a false God. We serve only the true and living God. And they took them. And the Bible says that the people that brought them to go put them in the furnace, when they opened the furnace up, the fire was so great that it killed all of the soldiers that were trying to put them in there. But they walked right in. Right in the furnace and went in and sat down. And the king is sitting there watching this picture go on and he said, didn't y'all put 3 people in that furnace? And they said, yes, we did. He said, well, I see another one in there. And it looks like the Son of God. Jesus was there with them in the fire. And wherever we go, Jesus is going to be right there to bring us through whatever. And the Bible says when they came out of that man-made fire, that not one hair on them was burned at all. It wasn't even singed because they were with Jesus. And we need to understand when we're put in the furnace, when we're put in whatever, God is right there with us to protect us, to lead us, to guide us, to console us and let us know you're in my perfect will when you're with me. And there's no fire in hell, there's no fire anywhere that will consume you because it's a living fire, a cleansing fire. And that's where God wants to bring the church of this age to come to that place and realize it's time for the church to get in the fire. It's time for us to go through the motions of everything that we just talked about here. And if you'll put that scripture up there, I want to read this. It says, I don't think I gave her that one. I'm going to read this one, 2 Timothy. She don't have it. I'm going to read it. It says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. See, we got a choice. We can either be a vessel of honor and say, God, I want the best for my life. I want to get in your will. I will listen to you. I will obey you. I will study your word. I will pray. I will do what I need to do. I want to be a vessel of honor. Or we can just back off and say, you know what? I'm just not ready for that. I got my own thing I'm doing right now. I'm going to just get on the side, on the edge of the wheel. How many of you know sometimes you get on the edge of something, you're going to fall off? And we want to get on the edge of it and do our own thing and say, well, it's just not time for me to do it. That might be good for somebody else, but it's not good for me. Because, you see, we got to come to the realization and realize that we all need to be in the center of the wheel. We all need to be vessels that God will make honorable. I don't want to be a vessel that's going to be broken and thrown away. I did that before I was ever a Christian, and I can almost count the times to where I had opportunities to do something with my life, and I threw it away. But God has got another plan for that. Amen? One of the things it says, now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, it'll be destroyed. See, every one of us are building on something. And if we're building with gold and silver and precious stones, that's good. That will last the fire. That'll go through it. It'll change it, but it'll go through it. But if we're building out of wood and hay and stubble, it's going to be burned up. And we're going to stand there totally empty-handed and say, why am I in this place? Well, I'm going to tell you what. You'll remember the words that I'm saying today if you do that. So we can't go there. First Peter, it says, now the genuineness of their faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. See, He's coming, and He's coming very soon. And when He comes, I want to be one of those vessels that can stand there and say, Lord, I've been through the fire. I've been through the testing. And I've done what You told me to be. And I'm here to praise You, to honor You, to glorify Your name. And He'll say, well done, good and faithful servant. Come on in. But if we're not there when He comes, He's going to say, depart from Me, for You never knew Me. I tried to get you and need you. I tried to get you to a place to get all of that out of your life, and You wouldn't let me do it. Then I tried to put You in the center of my will, and You wouldn't even listen to me. You wanted to go do Your own thing. And then I tried to put You in that drying place to let You feel lonely so You would have a heart after Me. And You failed that test. And now I put You in the fire, and You're going to burn up. What a horrible place to be. I mean, it's a pretty picture if we look at it the way God has planned it to be for our lives. But if we look at it in our own eyes, it is a bad situation because we're doing our own thing. And we're living in a day and age right now. The Bible says in every dispensation through the Bible, it says that men ended up doing those things that was right in their own eyes instead of the eyes of God. And we're living in a dispensation, if you will, with the same thing. We got a nut over in Syria right now killing his own people with gas. I don't know if you've seen any of that, watching his little children die and suffocate, burning and just hot. I mean, a horrible way to die with that gas in their bodies. I mean, this kind of stuff is going on in our world, in our dispensation. And we still got people that want to go do their own thing and leave God totally out of it. And I'm going to tell you what, church, I believe this is a warning to us to say, he told Jeremiah, he said, go down to the potter's house because this is a word for Israel. If they don't change and get evilness out of their life, then I will create evil things that will come and to destroy them. But if they repent and start living the way I say live, then I'm going to make things that's going to bless their lives. I'd much rather be on the blessing end. Amen? How many of you would like to do that instead of the cursing end of it? And it says in 1 Peter 4:12, it says, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, though some strange thing happened to you. You need to understand when we go through trying times that God's hand, if we still want to live for God, if we're still seeking His will, His eyes and His hands are on you. And He wants to fashion you. He loves you. He cares for you. He is there. He has never left you. He said, nobody can pluck you out of my hands. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you if we want him to stay. And church, I want you to know, we need to come to that place and say, God, I need you. I need him. I mean, I'm serving God every day of my life, but there's still times where I need more of him. I need to find out more about him. I need to fall in love with him more every day. And when I fall in love with him, I'm going to fall in love with you. Because that's what it's all about. When we love God first, then we're going to love our neighbor second. And that's important that we do that. That is being in the perfect will of God. Not the W-H-E-E-L, but the W-I-L-L. And when we get to there, then we're going to be a happy camper. We're also going to see the favor of God on our lives. That we're going to see that we're blessed people. That God is using us. God has got a plan for us in the days to come to use every one of us to usher in the kingdom of God and what he's going to be doing. Amen? I mean, when that trumpet blows, I'm out there every day looking for him. I go out my door sometimes just standing on that back porch thing back there and look up. And I see an eagle flying. They got two eagles that live back there in the woods. And I watch them every day and it's like, wow, I can't wait to watch one of those eagles dip down and jerk a rabbit off that soccer field. That's going to be good looking. But I can't wait till those skies are split open and see my Jesus in it. Amen? It's exciting to live a Christian life today. And you may be here today and you might have failed in all these things right here. A lot of them. But I want you to know, when Jesus was with his disciples, he said one of them was going to betray him. And Judas Iscariot did. And he went and told the Pharisees who the Son of God was. And they said, you have to lead us to him. We don't know which one he is. And he said, come follow me. So they followed him. And he goes and he finds Jesus. And he says, the one that I kiss is the one that's the Son of God. And they gave him 30 pieces of silver when they went. He literally sold the Son of God for 30 pieces of silver and betrayed him. And then he went and kissed him to show him which one he was. But then Jesus had a story one time and he said, you know, there was a man that saw a field. Out in that field was a treasure. And he went and sold everything that he had just to go buy that field because he wanted that treasure that was in that field. Now let me go back to this and say this. When Judas finally realized what he did, he went back and he took that money and he threw it in their face and said, this is blood money and I'll not take it. The Pharisees looked at it. They didn't know what to do. I'm paraphrasing. Didn't know what to do with it. So they said, go buy a field somewhere with that money. And they literally went and bought what they call a potter's field. It's still in Jerusalem even to this day. There's two fields that I saw. I saw two things. One of them was Gehenna, and that's a place called hell. And it was like the city dump that burns all the time. They bring all the refuge and the trash there to burn it. It's like hell. It never stops smoking and burning. But then there was another place that they took all of the pottery that was marred and broken, and they took it and they threw it in that field. And I want you to know that Jesus went and bought that field for us. Bought that field. He gave his life. He gave his blood. He gave everything that he had so you and I, broken, marred vessels in a field, and he bought us with his life. And that's what's so good about the potter's hand. He never gives up on us. He's got a plan for us, and we have to be either obedient or disobedient. So where's Nick? I want him to come up and do some music, and I'll do the lights. I want to give an altar call right now. We got some time. We don't have to be at class. And I want you to come. If any part of this has touched you today, no matter where you are on the potter's hands, whether you're the clay, whether you're on the wheel, whether you're in the drying room, whether you're in the furnace, whether you've been a vessel that was broken and marred and thrown away, given up for nothing, just throw it in a field. There's hope for every one of us. And I want you to stand, if you would. And while he's playing, if you want God to touch you, I don't care what part of that field that you're in, I want you to come down here and tell the Lord, Lord, here I am. And I want you to take me, Lord, and I want you to make me. I want you to mold me into being what you want me to be. Y'all come on forward if you would. I want you to take me and I want you to begin to mold me. I want you to make something new. Lord, I've been hurt. I've been in that drying time and I didn't know. And I felt that pain and that anguish. Lord, I've been in that time where I didn't understand your hands was taking things out of my life. And I thought it was so selfish on your part. But now I realize, God, that it was good for me that you took those things out. It was good for me that you put in your sweat and your blood and your oils out of your hand. And God, I want to come today and thank you for that. Just thank you, Lord. You don't need to be changed. Sometimes you just need to thank God for what he's doing. Lord, that time that I felt like that I was in your will, but really I wasn't. I was doing my own thing and I was going astray. And you pulled me back into the center of your will. God, I thank you for that. God, those times that I felt so dry and alone, I felt like nobody cared. I felt like no one understood what I was going through. God, you did. You knew what was there. And you waited for me to come to that place where when you thumped me that I would sing. And Lord, I come to praise you today to do something great in my life. God, I thank you for that fire, Lord God, that you came and you crystallized those things in my life, that I wouldn't let sin come back into it, but I would start living a good, godly life. Lord, I thank you for that. And then some of you may feel like, well, I was broken. There was no hope. There was nothing. Well, I want you to know there is hope because Jesus came and died and gave his life for that field because you were the treasure in that field. And I want you to come and I want us to pray. And you that come to the altar, that work at the altar, I want you to begin to come out and we're going to pray for these that are down here today. So come on. If you're here and you need to go, why don't you just slip out the back? We're going to pray for people that's here. We got lives that are being molded and changed. And if you would, just put your hand toward them. If, even better yet, come and pray with us.
And mold me, use me, and fill me. I give my life to all of you, Lord. Hear us and call me and guide me or follow.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord God. Lord, we've taken a field trip that will hopefully change our lives forever, Lord. That we'll know that you have a perfect plan for our lives. We'll know that we are the clay and you are the potter. Lord, and we trust in you, Lord God, because you've never made anything that was bad. Everything you've ever made was good and pleasing to you. Lord, we ask that you would mold us and make us to be the people that you want us to be, Lord God. That we would all be vessels of honor, Lord. We would be obedient to your word. That we would say yes instead of no. Lord, that we would be obedient to everything that you tell us. And we won't just think about it, Lord, but we'll put our feet to it and we'll go and we'll do the will of God. Father, we thank you. We love you in Jesus' name. Touch every person in this building, Lord. Let us go, Lord. We thank you for just a quietness, Lord God, of your spirit that's here right now, because we know that you're ministering to hearts, that you're changing people, Lord. Lord, we're not afraid of that. We want to be used to hearing your voice, Lord God. We want to be used to feeling your hand as you touch us. We want to be used to being quiet, Lord God, and let you speak and let you do with us as you would. Lord, touch every brother, every sister here today. Let us go in peace and love and joy in the Holy Ghost today.
Hallelujah. I just feel this is from the Lord. How many of you have been fooled by somebody? Maybe in a card purchase or in a relationship, or you paid somebody to do a job and they just lied to you, had no intention of doing what they're going to do, and they just left with your money. And you were just made a fool. You were taken for a sucker. Well, guess how that's done? Through lies and deception. And what's the most dangerous and serious lie and deception? It's from the devil. Amen? It don't matter what you do. Or there is no God. And who's laughing at you? The devil. He's making a fool out of us when we believe his lies. Amen? You want to be a sucker? Don't do that. Give your life to Jesus.
Thank you. If you're here today and you've never let the Lord Jesus into your life, you've never accepted him, you say, well, my gosh, after hearing you preach, I don't know if I want to be. Well, I'm going to tell you what, everything I said is going to be for your good. But if you're here today and you want to accept Jesus Christ, I want you to catch me. I'm going to be around here in the front. I want you to come find me. I want to pray with you. Or even if you're backslidden and you've been away from God, you've been off of the wheel, you've been out of sight, you've been somewhere you shouldn't have been, and you want to come back home, I want you to come find me. We're going to pray with you. You're not joining the church, you're joining him. When you join him, then you'll find a place to go and worship. But I want to encourage you today to do that. Can I pray with you one more time before we go? Father in heaven, I just thank you for every person that's here, Lord God. Thank you for their patience. Thank you for their love, Lord God. Thank you for their reception of me today, Lord God, to bring a message that I know may be kind of hard at times. But Lord, I thank you for this message, Lord God, because it's changed my life forever. And it will always change it, Lord. And Father, we just ask your blessings on every person here to have your favor, to have your love on them in Jesus' name as we go. Amen. Bless you.